Wasn't asking you, Bob. You want this one?
There we go.
You can sit there, Bob.
All right, we're going to continue on tonight. We are now joined by our outside front row qualifier, Austin Sindrick, driver in the number two team Penske Ford. We'll go right into questions. We'll start with Jacob, go to Holly, and then Bruce.
Jacob Zielman, Race Face Digital, Austin. This is the only race of the year where you actually get a cool trophy for qualifying second, but you said on the broadcast that this is still probably going to sting because I'm sure Chase will remind you about it for the next year until we come back here. But in all seriousness, what does this say about Team Penske and the fact that you guys were able to put a car on the front row now for the second year in a row?
Well, I think it certainly sends a message, right? I mean, obviously having a fast race car, but the consistency in our cars and in our team is certainly second to none. So super proud of my guys on the two car, but everybody back at Team Penske. I know everyone's takes a lot of pride in coming to this race with really fast cars. But it's obviously one step of the weekend. The front row obviously gives us, a lot of flexibility with as far as what we do tomorrow night. Pit selection, obviously starting spot and so on. So it's a good box to check early on in the weekend with, the list of things, maybe the shorter list of things that you can't control. And like I said, proud of the team.
You going to find somewhere to put that trophy or are you going to hide it because it's just a reminder that it was second instead of the pole?
It's a good question. I haven't decided yet.
All right, we'll go next to Holly.
Congratulations. I wanted to ask you, how much confidence can you take from doing this because you haven't been out on the track much? Do you like the car? Do you feel really good about your chances? Or is it just still too early to really know how it's going to all pan out in a race situation?
Well, I think if I'm being 100% honest, Brian and I were back and forth, Brian after practice, like, yeah, I think we got a shot at the front row. I'm like, how can you honestly say something like that? And I was like, I think we'll be like 8th to 11th, which is maybe like a conservative outlook. And clearly I was wrong, and clearly the guy that's paid to make decisions and think about things was right. So with that being said, certainly gives me some confidence that Brian knows what he's doing. Not that I already didn't think that, but otherwise, I think it's great for the guys. You work hard. You have extra time to spend on this car throughout the off season to really get things right. And I feel like we've made some steps to continue to improve our cars. As maybe not as difficult as that sounds, but we've had really fast race cars, but to continue that evolution, there's things I want to be able to still do with my cars. And I think the only complication this provides now is like, how much racing do we do tomorrow night? If it was up to me, I'm going to race. I'll let Brian tell me what to do. But otherwise, it's certainly a good start and certainly a good one for the guys. Sir,
hang on 1 second before you start, Bruce. We are now also joined by our Daytona 500 pole winner, Chase Briscoe, driver of the number 19 Joe Gibbs Racing Toyota. We'll continue on with questions. Go ahead, Bruce.
Bruce Martin with Forbes Sports Money. Austin, Mr. Penske emphasized three team cars in the top five. So, just how big of an accomplishment is that?
It's huge. Like I said before, I mean, the consistency within the shop is something we're super proud of them. It would be different if there was one car in the front row and the rest of them didn't even make, the top 10 into the second round. So I think it says a ton about our race team. I think the transparency between teams, and it's something I feel like our company does really better than anybody else. And we continue to show it these types of racetracks. And certainly a level of pride that I feel like everybody that works hard together is able to look at.
And does a front row start qualify as a trip to Steak and Shake? Or is that only for a Daytona 500 win?
It's a little late for that.
No, there's still a little bit on midnight.
We'll cross that bridge when we get there. But right now, it's one small box. It's not like I won, all right? Maybe ask Chase. But what's Chase?
I do like Steak and Shake.
All right, before we continue on here, Chase, this is Toyota's first Daytona 500 pole. How special is that for you to accomplish, not only for you and your team, but to get that special milestone for Toyota?
Yeah, I mean, truthfully, they've done so much, it's hard to do anything for the first time with Toyota. So, to be able to do it in my first race is super, super cool, super special. It means a lot to, Toyota, just Tyler Gibbs and everybody that came up to me after. You could see, in their eyes how much it meant to them. And, you know, even for Coach, I think it's his second ever Daytona 500 pole. So to be able to do that is really, really cool, really, really special. And, yeah, I mean, it is the pole. We would much rather win the race, but still it's neat regardless. You know, and even this whole off season, a lot of the emphasis at JGR has been to qualify better at super speedways. They felt like that was the biggest area where they lacked. And for them to be able to come here after, I think, qualifying 25th average, you know, last year, and to come here and have three cars in the top 10, to have one on the pole, is just a testament to everybody there and just the amount of effort and the prep work they put in. So, yeah, I'm just truthfully the lucky one that got to drive it tonight. But, yeah, it's super special for sure for the first race to be on the pole.
We'll go next to Zach and then Michael.
Zach Sterniola, NASCAR.com. Chase, for you. Denny said earlier that just the way that super speedways work now, it's harder to move from the rear of the field toward the front, and that put more emphasis on Daytona 500 qualifying more than ever. To accomplish the goal tonight, then, where you get the pole, how much does that matter for Sunday?
I mean, you still have to execute. I mean, you can still start 40th. You can still start on the pole. I mean, you still have to execute and put yourself in position all race long. You know, I think there's pros and cons of the front row. I think the pro is definitely, from a track position standpoint, it's hard to get now. So starting up front definitely makes it easier. But the con is you're going to burn more fuel starting on the front row too. So there's both, right? It definitely helps starting up front. But you still have to execute and put yourself there after 500 miles. And it's easy to get jumbled up in track position here. So, yeah, just have to execute from all the green flag pit stops, things like that. But certainly starting up front is not a huge disadvantage by any means.
Before we continue real quick, do we have any additional questions for Austin? Okay, go ahead, Michael.
Michael Massey, French Stretch. Austin, you podium in the 24 hours, second now. You feel like your momentum's building at this place to where, you know, it's building up to a win, or is it bittersweet getting so close in all of these moments?
Yes to all of the above. I've been pretty fortunate to be in two really great positions and programs since I've been here to start the year, right? I mean, to be able to come to the Rolex and pretty much every moment of the weekend that mattered, qualifying, Rocky puts it on pole, we're in victory lane taking photos. At the end of the race, we're on the podium taking photos in victory lane. Qualifying for the Daytona 500, we're taking photos in victory lane. So all of those things are awesome, but they also aren't race wins. So there's definitely a part of that kind of nags at you a little bit, especially when you have the opportunity and you feel like you're close. But look, it's been a good start to the year in that respect. But certainly a long road, long week ahead to find ourselves back in that place on Sunday night.
And then with just the last year that Penske's had of winning all these championships, big races, is there like an extra pressure for you guys in the Penske stable to get that Daytona 500 win this year?
Oh, I think the expectation is the same as it's always been. So the expectation is to win.
Do we have any final questions for Austin? All right, Austin, congratulations and thanks for coming in.
Enjoy.
See, it's taking shape.
Are you buying?
I mean, I can, I guess. You know I got three kids, so I probably can't go. Yeah. probably not on my diet. That's true. Yeah. James locked me down.
Chicken instead of tenders?
I had blackened chicken today. Yeah. Man. Yeah. I'm trying. That was the difference maker, I think. I was 10 pounds lighter.
All right. We'll continue on with Holly Kane.
This is big, obviously, to win the pole position for the Daytona 500. But how much of an extra boost is it for you starting out with a new team, driving this new car, and saying, hey, this is what I'm bringing?
Yeah. I mean, truthfully, I didn't really do a whole lot today. Like I said, I was just kind of the lucky one that got to drive the car. But, I mean, still from a confidence standpoint, the team, like, I did still have to execute a little bit. So I guess it's good that I didn't screw anything up today, because there is a lot of little things you have to do inside the car to qualify and just hit, you know, all your shifts right, leave pit road right. So there is stuff from that standpoint. But I think just the confidence that it carries over, you know, for the team, you know, there's not that there was uncertainty, but, you know, it is all new for all of us, right? Like, they're trying to figure me out. I'm trying to figure them out. So for us to be able to start the year, and even at Bowman Gray, you know, we had really, really good speed. You know, obviously we broke in the race, but I feel like we've gotten off to a really, really good start. And honestly, it's been smoother, I would say, than all of us kind of expected. Like, we thought there was going to be a little more of, you know, just not a hurdle, but it was just going to be harder to learn each other. And it's all been super, super smooth. So, yeah, it's a great way for us to start the season. You know, obviously, the poll doesn't really mean a whole lot outside of, you know, just the you know, as far as the poll doesn't mean a lot as far as like what that means for your race. You still have to go out there and win, but still from a standpoint is the confidence, you know, from a team standpoint inside the garage, there's a ton of pride that goes into who can bring the fastest car to Daytona. And for, you know, the 19 group to be able to do that, to not do it by a little amount, you know, I think it was a 10th of a second, like that says a lot when every single car is almost the same now. So for us to be able to do that, I think is, something I know I'm really proud of, just because, like I said, the whole offseason, the entire emphasis was how can we qualify better at super speedways? And for us to be able to come here and execute that, I think is pretty special.
We'll go back to Jacob.
Jacob Zielman, Race Face Digital. Chase, first, Austin referenced that you two have often compared and jabbed at each other for qualifying times. Are you going to let him forget this one anytime soon?
No, we definitely have had a running like tally for the last, I don't know, 5-6 years now, and I think if I'm not undefeated, I've only lost very few seasons. Last year I only beat him by like 4 weeks. So as we were getting down to the wire last year, I was counting and I texted him. I said, "Do you want to count super speedways?" I said, "I don't think we should count them personally." But now I told him when I got out, I said, "I think we got to count super speedways again." So I'm off to a 1-0 start on him. So yeah, it's been a fun kind of thing that we've done every single season. You know, whether we see each other out on pit road after or text each other after. So yeah, it's been fun to always kind of have that competition.
For a small town short track kid from Indiana who grew up dreaming of moments like this, could you have pictured a 500 pole? Is this?
No, definitely not. I mean, everybody in here for the most part knows my story, right? So, yeah, I didn't think I would run a national series race ever. And, you know, to now be leading the field, you know, to green in the Great American Race and even do it with like the ultimate Great American brand with Bass Pro on it is crazy, truthfully, for me. And when I did the lap the first round, I was like, man, like I could maybe be on the pole with this thing. And I was trying to not think about it. And then we crossed the line the second time and James came over the radio and told me I was, you know, P1. And I didn't really hit me until turn three. And like, I was rolling around on the apron. I just like said out loud to myself, I'm like, I'm on the pole of the Daytona 500. Like that's crazy. So yeah, I still don't know if it's fully hit me. But definitely, you know, you don't realize the magnitude of it. I don't think until you've done it. You know, I've been able to qualify third, fourth, fifth here, whatever for the 500. But, you know, I was like, man, it would have been great to, you know, be on the front row. But you don't really realize how big of a deal it is until you've done it. And, like, I grabbed my phone. I think I have 300 text messages. So, like, just to be on the pole of the Daytona 500 is a really, really big deal. So, yeah, just special thing for me to do to, you know, even start off with a new team, you know, new company with Bass Pro, all the things that go along with it. It's pretty special for sure.
Any final questions for Chase? Come up to Reed.
Reed Spencer with the NASCAR Wire. Chase, when you run a lap like you did in the first round, which is such a stellar lap, top the field, how tough is it to duplicate that and go out and do that again?
You know, it's a little bit easier at a place like this. You know, like mile and a half racing, it's harder to replicate it or a short track, but I've been in the position here with Stuart Haas where we've been top of the board the first round, and then we go out the second round. I end up like fourth or fifth, so I was worried that was going to happen again. So yeah, truthfully, we slowed down the second round. Like we were one of the few cars that actually slowed down, but we had a big enough buffer to the rest of the field that it, you know, still worked out. But yeah, you're nervous. You know, like James came up to me after the first round. He's like, "Man, you like nailed everything you needed to do, like leaving pit road, hitting all your gears right." So I'm like a little nervous for sure. Like if I was perfect the first time, obviously I'm capable of doing it. I need to do it the second time. And I didn't feel as good about it the second time. And even the first round, I felt like I had a pretty good wind gust like down the back straightaway. Like I could hear it in the tone of my motor that the motor was ripping pretty good. And the second round, I did not feel as good about it. And it was a little bit slower, but obviously it was still enough. So yeah, it was one of those things, it's hard to ever say you're going to be able to back it up after the first round. And like I said, I've been on the bad side of it, but it was nice to finally, you know, be quick in round one and round two for once.
All right, we'll go to Dustin.
Dustin Albino-Jaski, how does this change the game plan for tomorrow?
That's a great question. Personally, I want to go race. I don't want to race, then crash and be like, man, what was I thinking? That was dumb. But I really do want to go race just because everything about this car is going to be totally different for me. You know, the bumpers, how they line up, how you push people, how you take pushes, like all that is going to be drastically different with a new manufacturer and even just how the car, you know, acts in the air. So I really do want to race. I was even talking to Cindric about that. I was like, well, what are you going to do? And he's on the same page. Like, he wants to go race too, but, you know, obviously it's up to James. It's up to Coach, you know, everybody at JGR. And I know that I'm going to support their decision 100%. I'm torn. I'm 50-50. Like, I want to go race, but I also don't want to do anything dumb and jeopardize the pole. So, yeah, it wouldn't hurt my feelings. Maybe go out there, run the first 5-10 laps, like, in the lead. And if it starts getting kind of out of hand a little bit, you know, then back off. But the problem is, like, you can be behind the pack and still wreck. So, I don't really want to go run 60 laps by myself tomorrow, half track behind the field, but I also, like I said, don't want to get in a crash either. So, yeah, I don't know. It'll be up to them, and I'll do whatever they tell me. Yep, thanks.
Chase, thanks so much for coming in, and congratulations.
Yeah, thank you guys. Appreciate it. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, appreciate it.